Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. I'm Tim Blevins, lead pastor, and I'm honored you have come to join us. To experience our full service or for more information, check out the links in the description. I hope this message ministers to you and helps you find life in Jesus.
Good morning, church. Hey, that video, before you jump into anything else, how moving is that? Next Sunday, we're having what is called Friendship Sunday, and we'll have an opportunity to be able to help children in Honduras with their education, with food, and medical attention. And so Children's Cup is the organization we're partnering with, and through them, we're going to sponsor these children, help them in Honduras. Next week, we'll also announce that we're going to take a mission trip to go down and see these children, and so you're going to want to be here for that next week, as well as next week. We have our baptism. It's going to be a big day next week. So we just go from one big day to the next big day, and it's just great. So I want to welcome you to church today. Hey, if you're a guest today, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Church, can you give all our guests a good hand? Amazing. Hey, tech team, do me one favor. I love to see the congregation when I'm preaching. Can you throw some lights on? I want to see everybody. You got beautiful faces. There you are. Hey, guys, you look great on this Sunday. What a beautiful day outside, beautiful day inside. And we're celebrating 20 years. It's just amazing time. I can't hardly believe it, to be honest with you. My memories go back to that first Sunday. And there weren't many of us really there on our first Sunday, but after we had our marketing campaign this was before social media, we couldn't pay social media to do the work for us. We actually had to go out and invite people to church, and so, but we did it, and on that first Sunday, we had 45 people at church, and we thought, hey, that's a deal. And the problem with that, though, was that about 30 of those people were friends and family from out of town. And the second week of church, we had two people come back. And that's how I felt, trust me. And but we did church, and we did it. And those early days was like a lot of hustle. You have to plan a church when you're younger than I am now, because I don't think I have the youthful energy to do what I did then. So just a quick thought of what it looked like for us back in that very beginning stages. We were a portable church at Bradley Creek Elementary School, and so we had a little trailer. Our equipment was in the trailer. And in our neighborhood, they would not allow us to park a trailer in the driveway because of the HOA rules. And so I had to push it into the garage. And the problem was that my garage was built just a little too low, and the trailer was an inch too tall to get into the garage. And so I had to let the air out of the tires in the trailer to push it in the garage. So this is what it looked like on Sunday morning. I'd get up at 5 a.m., and I would go out, and I'd push that trailer out of the garage. Then I'd pump up the tires. Then I would hook it up to the Jeep, and I'd take it over to Bradley Creek Elementary School. Hey, we had two people in church, so I had no setup team. And so I unloaded the trailer, and I set up our church. Now, granted, the church was not much more than an 8x10 rug at Bradley Creek Elementary School, but we did it, set up some toys and kids ministry, and then I would change clothes. Because at that point I'd broken into a full sweat, and so I'd be in the little bathroom at Bradley Creek Elementary School splashing off trying to get ready. Then, you know, the two people would come to church, and you know, we were grateful for them, no doubt. So we would have worship. We had a friend from Atlanta that moved up here to help us, and he was our worship leader. His name was Sam Black, and appreciate his heart to come help. But Harriet was our tech team at that point. And so this was back when we had projectors. Anybody remember the old days of projectors? So she'd lay it on that screen, hopefully the right side up, sometimes upside down. And you've been in church for a long time, you remember the projector systems. And so she ran the projector. So it was great. Tech team is so good. And so then we would transition to the message. And then Harriet would flip into children's pastor. And so she would take all the kids back to children's ministry. And then I would preach. And so while I was preaching, she was doing kids. And then after the sermon, we prayed for the sick from day one. That's always been part of our plan. And so that's been our playbook from the beginning. We would set up church. We would worship. we would do kids ministry, we'd preach and pray. And so, you know, we still kind of do that playbook today, and it's still working, it's doing all right. So I think it's been a good plan. So then church would be over, and so then those two people would go home, and so then I'd load up that trailer, and I'd take it home, let the air out of the tires, push it in the garage, and call it a Sunday. Amen? Woo! That was Sunday right there. The church didn't have a lot of money at that time. Harriet and I had four jobs to get this thing going. So she worked at Myrtle Grove Christian School, and she was in the office there working. Then she started a side hustle. She was doing design consulting for homes, and she helped people decorate their houses and make their houses beautiful. And then I took a job. I met this man. His name is Tom Tenney. I don't know if Tom is here today. Tom, are you in the house here today? You might be second service. Tom Tenney hired me to be a painter. And I'd never painted anything in my life. And so I called Tom Tenney. I said, "Mr. Tenney," I said, "I know we've never met, but I heard you might be hiring." And he said, "I'll hire you if you have some skills." And I said, "Well, I'm able, you know." And he said, "Well, what's your story?" And I said, "Well, listen, I'm in town to plant a church." And he goes, "Oh, you're hired." And I said, "Well, before you hire me, I've got, you know, a family to feed, and I need to make this amount." And he goes, "Tell me how much." And I told him, and he goes, "All right, you're hired." And that's how we started. Then it was kind of funny. Harriet's design business, she would go in and she would tell somebody, "Hey, you need curtains here, and you need this, you need to hang that." And so then these little ladies would say to her, "Well, do you have anyone that can come and hang up my stuff?" And she would say, "Sure, I've got an installer. He's a good handyman." Guess who'd show up? So I'd show up, and we'd install their stuff. And so we had a gig going there. And I did a good job. I learned. So we planted the church 20 years ago, and you know, I'm glad that we've grown. I'm glad that I'm not letting air out of tires, and I'm glad that we are where we are today. And it's just a journey. It's been a blessing. And I remember in those early days preaching, and I was preaching promise. I was preaching that, you know, God's got dreams for us. And honestly, I can go back to those days and remember preaching about these days and casting vision for these days. And to stand here in these days is really just a testament to God and Him birthing something inside of us. I remember one time I said to them, and we'd grown, you know, to, you know, like 12 people. So, you know, we were like, really. But listen, I used to tell everybody our growth was astounding. You know, we were like, you know, like 500% growth, you know, from 2 people up to 12 people, whatever that is. And I mean, like, we were exploding, you know, like, look at us go. And I told him one time, I said, "Listen, as good as it is right now, the best is still to come." And they all clapped, all 12 of them. And we had this one family that came, and they were great because they had, how many, 6 kids. And so that's how we doubled. When the Bradshaws came, and they showed up with 6 kids, and so that's really the secret. You just find families with lots of children. But I want to tell you, I'm standing here on a 20th anniversary, and as good as this is, the best is still to come. Amen, church? Amen. God's not finished. So, hey, just real quick, how many of you have started attending Life Church since we moved into this building? Just throw up your hands. Look at that. Amazing, amazing. So good. We're so happy you came here. So blessed. How many of you started attending our church when we were at the activity center in the Baptist activity? Look at that. Gosh, you guys, man, y'all were desperate for a church, weren't you? I tell you what. Amen. That's so good. All right, let's keep going back. How many of you were started attending our church when we were in the mall location? Oh, you guys, you're special. You're special. I appreciate you. Oh, I love it. All right, can we go on back one more? We were in the golf shop for a while. We took over a golf shop. And how many of you started attending? Anybody here from the golf shop era? Oh, no hands from the golf shop? Hang on, we're going to go back one more. Who was with us when we were at the school in the beginning. Hey, would you stand up? Would you stand up? You guys, heroes. You're my brothers, true brothers right there. I love you. Thank you. I remember the first service that Jody came to. I remember it. The air conditioning had gone out, and you know, it's one of those Sundays. And when you're in a school, there's nobody to call. You know, actually, what had happened is it went into summertime, and the school shut down everything, and they didn't turn on the air conditioners because they just said, "Who needs air conditioning in the summer?" Except for this, you know, 12-person church. And so that morning, it had to be 100 degrees in there, and so. After I set up the auditorium with my rug, I went on the hunt in the school. And so I went through janitor closets. I was digging, and I found this fan. And I don't know why they have a fan, but it was the size of, I mean, it was 6 foot wide. It was ginormous. So I took it into the auditorium, and it was the cafeteria auditorium, you know, whatever. You can call it what you want. And I plugged that baby in, and it was like an airplane took off in there. And so, listen, the beauty was that Jody had no idea what I was saying. It was so loud. And so he didn't know if it was a good message or not. And so by the end of it, though, he was convinced that if we'll preach through a fan and in the heat and we'll keep going, he somehow said, "Well, this is my kind of church." And he kept coming back. Amen, amen. So, church, happy anniversary. God is good. God is good. Well, I'm going to preach a shortish message, as shortish as I can. But before I do, I want to pray. I also want to pray for Israel in my prayer today. As many of you know, yesterday, last night, there was an attack on Israel that from Iran, and they had sent 100 drone missiles over to drop on Israel. And praise God, all the missiles appear to be intercepted, shot down by Israeli forces and U.S. forces and allies. And so praise God for that. I don't know what's going to happen next in the region. It's certainly a hotbed of activity. You know, I don't want to see war escalate. That's certainly not my heart. I don't know what Israel will do, and if there's a retaliation or not. That's certainly not up to me. And I'm really just going to reserve my opinions on that because, you know what, all war, there's death, there's all pain. War's never good other than when it's, you know, to protect your homeland and your people. So I don't know. I just don't want to see more people hurt. So I just want to pray. I want to pray for peace, and I want to pray for Israel to be protected if there's more, and just see God just raise his mighty hand there in that region. So Father, we pray for this day. We do thank you for 20 years. We thank you for your faithfulness here. God, we lift up Israel together as a church, and Lord, we just pray for her. We pray that you would protect your people there. We pray that you would continue to cause allies to rally together to come against evil in the region. And Father, we ask that your will be done, and we ask that through it all, people would see that your name stands above all. And so, Lord, we pray that today in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to take a few minutes and preach out of the book of Matthew. My sermon title is Wise or Foolish. And so I'm going to preach from this story where Jesus was on a hillside, and he was preaching about many things to his followers that day. And then he concluded his teachings with this, what I'm about to read. So just imagine him teaching his followers things about everything from divorce and anger, forgiveness, loving our enemies, and all those types of things, helping others. And then he said this, and he said, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise." Everybody say wise. So anyone who listens and anyone who follows his teachings is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. And so Jesus is giving illustration about how that what when you listen to his words and you build your life on Jesus and his words and following him, that when the storms come, your feet are on bedrock. They're on a solid foundation. Then it goes on to say that anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Say foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. So some people build it on rock and some people build it on sand. Again, when this storm comes, when the floods come, the winds beat against the house. The house that was built on this shaky foundation, this sand foundation, it will collapse with a mighty crash. I kind of like this story because it reminds me of our area. You know, you think about a beach house, and you know we have beach houses. You think about hurricanes that come, and you can relate to the story pretty quick. And that is built on a solid foundation will withstand the storms that come against this house, and those that are built on unstable foundation, they'll collapse under the storms. I was doing a little Google research and just kind of pondering what foundations, you know, what a foundation is and how big a foundation is needed for different structures. And so a house that's kind of like just in land, kind of like where we are, really you don't need a deep foundation. Something around 8 inches will probably suffice for a house like that. I was looking at houses at the beach. They tend to be more like 12 to 16 feet deep of a foundation and pilings to help structure that. The tallest building in America is called the One World Trade Center. I like how it's also known. It's also known as Freedom Tower. I like that better. But it has a foundation that's 110 feet deep. And so that's a deep foundation. And I was trying to size that up. How deep is 110 feet? Because sometimes I can't relate to something. And just to give you a little scope, the PPD building downtown, it's 190 feet. So the foundation below this One Trade Center is over half the depth of the PPD building underground with steel and is it rebar or whatever it is. I'm not a builder, but you know things that foundation stuff, you know, whatever's in the ground, that stuff. So. Amen. Amen. So let's just move. It takes a huge foundation to support a massive building, right? So maybe would you agree with me that the strength of a foundation will determine the stability of a building? So, and if you want your life to be unshakable through the storms of life, then you must build your house. You must be a wise person and build your house, your life on a firm foundation. And so thinking about these two guys that built this house, these two builders, they built their house. And I was thinking that both of these builders, they had the same dream. You know, they both wanted to build a house. And I don't think either one of them set out to build a house that would fall. And no one builds their life in a way that you go, well, I hope I just crash and burn one day and I hope my life falls apart. And so I'm just kind of relating it to these two guys that they built a house with hopes and dreams that this would be their home. This would be a place where they would raise their children. This would be a place that they build their life, and that's what a home is all about. And just like you and I, we want a life. We want a life that is this, you know, dreaming and flourishing. And so these two guys had that, and so they were trying to build a house. But both of them faced the same storm. They both had a storm that came into their life, and the Bible says that it rained and it flooded and the winds were there. And so there was a storm that came on. And so just as a reminder to all of us, being a Christian doesn't eliminate us from the storms of life. So I wish it was that great, don't you? I mean, I just wish that there was like a bubble. But listen, we're in the world. We're in a crazy world. And honestly, I don't even know what's going to happen in the world. We don't even know what will escalate and what won't. We don't know what's going to happen before an election, after election. We have no idea what's going to happen, but I can promise you there's going to be storms in your life one way or another. Amen? Sometimes, have you ever gotten mail that says current resident? Have you ever gotten that? And you know what that means? That means we're sending it to your house, and we don't care who it is. We just want you to open this up and buy something from us. Troubles are kind of that way. It just says current resident. It doesn't care what your wealth is. It doesn't care what your education is. It doesn't care what your address is. It's coming either way. And so you better build your life on a firm foundation. And so the question is for me and for you today is, when these difficulties and these heartaches and these setbacks and the sicknesses and whatever else can get us down, what is the foundation that you are building your life and will it sustain you? Is that gonna hold you? Do you have God's strength to get you through the storms of life? Do you have peace when storms hit? Or do you flip into to anxiety and stress? Or do you have the power of prayer to find God's help in those moments? What is your foundation? Do you believe that with God all things are possible, and you live a life of faith and a life of hope and a life of promise through those difficult times? Do you believe that God is close to you? And do you believe that Jesus genuinely cares about you? Is that the foundation of your life? You need a foundation that can support you when things go a little crazy. So there were two builders. Jesus said one was wise and one was foolish. What made the one wise and what made the one foolish? Was it one's education? Was it a brand new opportunity that came into one's life? Was it their dreams? No, it was none of those things. If you check the screen, I'll tell it like this. The difference between the wise and the foolish person has everything to do with the foundation on which they build their life. And that's the deal. So what is that foundation? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, and it is Jesus Christ. That is the foundation that we build our life. The greatest and the most important decision and work that you will do is to build your life on Jesus Christ. Because Jesus never fails. Jesus always loves. Jesus forgives. Jesus takes away our shame. Jesus told us to lay our burdens down before him. Jesus defeated the grave. Jesus is greater than any storm that'll come into your life. Maybe you remember the story when Jesus was on a boat with his disciples and the storm arose and the disciples, they were convinced they were gonna drown, and they ran back in the boat to Jesus, who was sleeping during this storm, and they were panicking, and they were like, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? Jesus taught them a lesson in that moment, but then he looked at that storm and he calmed the storm. Listen, when you build your life on the foundation of Jesus, you learn to rest in those storms because you know he has the power over every storm that comes into your life. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is the solid rock on which we stand. And church, all other foundations are? Amen. I don't want to live my life counting on others to hold me up. I don't want to count on organizations and government or money. Listen, I don't want to put my feet on things that are unstable, that are uncertain, that are unpredictable at times. I want my feet to be securely fastened and just locked in, and I want my life to be built on Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. I believe that when my life is built on Jesus and your life is built on Jesus, then there is a foundation that when the storms come into our life, you have his help, you have his strength, you have his power to live out whatever comes into your life and into my life. Now, I believe that God has given us a support structure, a support system to help us keep our feet on that solid rock. I believe that God wants us to keep our focus and keep our trust in Jesus through those difficult times. And he's given us a way, he's given us a support system to make that happen. And we know that Jesus is the foundation, but the support system is where your church plays a significant role in your life. God has given you a church. He's given you a body of believers, and he's given you a place, a gathered group of people that are here to help support your life and to help keep your feet on a solid foundation. One day, Jesus was with his disciples, and he said in Matthew chapter 16, and they were walking along, and Jesus had been doing miracles, and there was a buzz about Jesus. And so when Jesus came into this region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, he said, who do people say that the Son of Man is? So he's asking them, you know, what's the buzz out there? What are they saying? What are they referring to me as? And so they answered, they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus asked probably the most important question that could ever be asked to my life, your life, but he asked it to them. And he said, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Not who does your mama say he is? Not who does your grandmama say Jesus is? Who do you say I am? So Simon Peter, he answered, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Peter answered, he declared that this man that he had been following, this man that he had been walking with, this man that he had been learning from, he declared that he was way more than just another prophet. He was way more than just another teacher. He was way more than John the Baptist. He was way more than Elijah. He was way more than that. He declared that he was, in fact, the Son of God, the anointed one, the one that we call Christ, the one that can take away our sins of the world, the one who saves us. He said, that's who you are. So Jesus replied to him and he said, well, blessed, Simon, because my Father revealed this to you. It was a revelation that you had who Jesus was. It was a revelation. Others hadn't had that revelation. They were still interpreting him to be a prophet of some kind, or Elijah, or some other teacher. And so he said, but you've had a revelation. There's been something inside of you that has been revealed to you by God that I am the Son of God. And he said, so Peter, you're blessed because of that. He said, you didn't learn this from any human being. And he said to him, he said, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now I want you to pick up on this. He said, upon this rock. And you got to know what this rock is. You got to understand what the rock is. What was Jesus saying this rock is? Was he saying, Peter, you're a rock? No. He changed his name as an illustration. But that Peter isn't the rock. No, the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, he is the anointed Christ that saves the world. That is the revelation, and that is the rock that he's referring to. Oh, just as a, every now and then I like to go off track a second. The Catholics, this verse throws them for a loop. They misinterpret this to believe that Peter is the rock. And then they have set up a succession line, an apostolic authority line from Peter all the way to the Pope. And they believe that upon that is what their church is built upon, and giving him the apostolic authority of infallibility to preach the word of God. Listen, I'm here to tell you, as much as the Catholics are good in so many ways, they miss the point that Peter isn't the rock. The rock is the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and only through Jesus can you be saved. Amen, church? The Bible says in Psalm 89:26, it says, you are my Father God and the rock of my salvation. And the rock is Jesus Christ. He is that firm foundation. And so it goes on to say, though, in this verse, I'm going to wrap it up right here, but it goes on to say that he, Jesus, is the rock, right? He's the foundation. But he said, upon that foundation, Jesus said, the foundation, I will build my church. So you got to see that on the foundation, this base, the foundation, the church is built, the house of God is built directly on the foundation. That's why Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Jesus is everything about the church. That's why our church is all about Jesus all the time. We're here to worship Jesus, celebrate Jesus, pray to Jesus. We're here to lead people to life in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It'll always be all about Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the foundation, and the church is built on him. Right? But where do you plant your feet? Listen, you want your feet on the foundation. The way you do it is you plant your feet in a local church that's planted on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be so bold to say that I don't believe you can firmly stand on the foundation of Jesus without being firmly planted in a local church. Can you be a Christian without church? Sure. Sure. But I'm going to tell you this. Your life will be shaky. When the storms of life come, who's going to pray for you? When the storms of life come, where are you going to come and center your worship and lift your voice up amongst a bunch of people that are in here singing the same songs in unity? Where are you going to go to where someone's going to be at the front and lay hands on you and pray for you? Where are you going to go that the pastor's going to be lifting you up through the week and saying, God, we ask that you would sustain your people. You get them through these difficult times. Where are you going to go? You need a church. Amen. If you believe, go ahead and give a better clap than that. Don't make the mistake of underestimating the value of your church in your life. Because someday, hell will break loose in your life. And you want what Jesus just said, because he said, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer the church. And if you're in the church, then you are standing on a solid rock. You are not on sand. You're in a place that's going to lift you up. And there's a promise of God that says that if you're planted on a house, in the house, on the foundation, when hell comes against you, you've got the support you need to withstand the storms of life. Amen, church. So, the church is God's plan to help you build your life on the firm foundation of Jesus. I'm excited about what God's doing in our church. Not because of 20 years. I'm excited because we're helping people find life and a foundation to live their life on Jesus Christ. And we're not finished. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you haven't answered that important question. Who do you say that Jesus is? If you've never answered that question, today's a great day. The best day. It's probably the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. So he asked his disciples, he asked them following, who do you say I am? And so I ask you today, who do you say Jesus is? And if he's not your Christ, meaning your Savior, then he's something else to you that won't save you, that won't forgive those sins, and you need a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads in this moment? And Father, if there are people here today that have never made a decision to follow Jesus, would you let this be the day, Father? Would you knock on their heart? So people to surrender their life and know Jesus as the Christ, the Savior, Son of the living God. Some of you may be thinking about it right now. Is this your moment? It's the best decision you'll ever make. You don't have to figure out everything in life to make this decision. You don't have to figure out how you're going to stop this and start that. You just need to make a decision today. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for my sins and I can be saved today. If that's you, would you just raise your hand to me and say, I want to make that decision today. Is there anybody here today? Thank you, Lord. Let's pray this out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, the foundation of our life. He is the Christ, the Son of God. We turn to him today. We lay our lives down before him. We invite him to save us, forgive us of all our sins. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen, church. Amen. 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 So we're going to go into ministry time. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet for a moment. Prayer team, if you'd come on down. And we want to close out this day like we close out most all of our days with prayer. If you have any prayer need in your life, we would love for you to come and let us pray for you. That's why we're here. We're a church. We care. We want to help you get your life on that solid foundation. If you prayed that prayer for salvation for the first time, come tell somebody. Let us pray for you again. Also, communion's in the room. You can go get communion today. I want you to stay in the room with us. We're going to close out with a song that we used to sing back in the mall days. And it's an anthem of all anthems. And so it might get a little loud again. Next week we won't be as loud. It's just celebration week. But so we're going to keep it soft for a few minutes for prayer. Take communion. Don't waste any time because we're going into a big song and you don't want to miss it, all right? So Father, thank you for this day. I pray that as people come for prayer, Lord, supernatural miracles would be released in this house. Help us have strength to go through the storms. And God, we thank you for your body that was broken, your blood that was shed, and we take communion to remember you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.